I'm pumped up about the baptisms today. I know we have like 5 adults and I think 6 kids. Is that right, Mo's getting baptized today? So that's fantastic. Do you realize, guys, that's incredible. Because these are people that are saying, I've made a commitment to Christ and I'm willing to publicly proclaim it. I mean, that's celebrating the vision and the mission of changed lives. And so I want to encourage you to come out if you have time at 3 o'clock, swing over, do that. That'd be great just to support and celebrate. So I'm excited about that. And also, I'm excited about Henry Street Hebrew School. And I said, what do you mean by that? It's just a joke. I'm just setting it up. But Mr. Goldblatt was the new teacher, and he finished the day's lessons. And it was now time for the unusual question of the day. And Joey puts his hand up and says, Mr. Goldblatt, I have a question. He goes, there's something I can't figure out. What's that, Joey? What's that? Mr. Goldblatt said. He says, well, according to the Bible, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, right? He said, yes, that's true. And he said, okay, and also the children of Israel beat up the Philistines, right? Said, yes, that's true. He said, and also the children of Israel built the temple, right? Yes, that's true. He said, the children of Israel fought them Egyptians, didn't they? He said, yeah, that's right. He says, and the children of Israel fought the Romans, is that right? That's right, Joey, that's right. And he says, but he goes, here's my question. If the children of Israel was doing all those things, what was the grown-ups doing? I know, it's kind of bad, I know. Oh, I know, it's kind of bad. Help me out. I mean, I know it's a pathetic use of a joke, but, you know, come on. I'll take laughs however I can get them. Good, bad, and different. You know, even if it's sympathy laughter, just go for it, okay? I love it, right? Well, we are in a series on Joshua called The Joshua Generation. And in the first message, we talked about our inheritance and that we talked about the Moses generation. We talked about how the children of Israel and the adults of Israel were caught in Egypt for 430 years. They were in slavery. Moses leads them out of slavery and with all kinds of miracles, and they wander in the wilderness 40 years. And the promise that's them for them is that they have a promised land. Canaan is the promised land, and the goal is to get there, but they get stuck for 40 years wandering. And then we talked about, in chapter 2, we talked about God's grace, really, and his preparation for the battle to come. And Joshua sends in the spies, and remember this, and sends in the spies, and the spies go to Rahab's house, and Rahab's a prostitute, and it's, you know, the unusual hero of the chapter. And God uses this woman, and she helps, not only gives them the information they need, but ends up sparing her life and her family's life in the process. She really recognizes God and who God is and recognizes that these men were men of God. And then in chapter 3, we see them actually crossing over the Jordan. We see that they're, for 3 days, they're camped right at the edge, and they say, God says, hey, when the priests go in carrying the ark, you know, follow in after them. And so millions, there was millions of them. Millions. We, at low estimate, 1.5. At the high estimate, 4.5 million people crossing the Jordan River. So this wasn't just a small camp out. This wasn't a small group. This was a massive quantity, a logistical nightmare. This was an amazing thing. And last week, Ehud talked about rest. He talked about Jesus being our rest. And he talked about that. And this week, I want to look at chapter 4 of Joshua. And chapter 4 is about memorials. And in the U.S. And around the world, we love memorials. I mean, start to think about this. Let me show you a few pictures. Corey, I'm going to click through this. Here's Arlington. Go to the next one. Jefferson Memorial there in D.C. I've been to D.C. and seen some of the memorials. I didn't get to see Arlington, but I did see this. Go to the next one. Cool rainbow shot there. The next one. Have you seen that in real life? Yeah, very cool. Black Hills there. This is one of my favorites. Now, don't keep going. I think what's fascinating is people make memorials for very serious things and very deep, meaningful things, and then also the Flintstones. I mean, so this is the Flintstone Rushmore. And then they also do, like the next one, they make memorials for their cats and dogs. And this is little teeny rocks that you can get engraved for your cats and dogs. I mean, memorials come in all shapes and sizes, is my point. In that, and when you go to Washington, D.C., if you've ever been there, it's incredible. It's actually kind of overwhelming. because you realize you don't realize the immenseness and the power of this country until you go to Washington, D.C. I mean, that was the feeling that I got as I walked on the mall and as I look at these memorials that, you know, on pictures, they're this big. But in real life, they're massive. And I just looked at the lawn maintenance budget alone. As I looked at the lawns in Washington, D.C., I went, the number of people employed to keep these lawns looking good is probably a greater dollar amount than the gross national product of some small countries. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's intimidating. And that's actually how it was designed. It was designed to be intimidating to foreign dignitaries, right? Everything, all the roads lead to the Capitol. I mean, it's fascinating. But what's impressive is you start looking at the memorials, and you can enjoy the memorials just for their aesthetic value, and they're, you know, they're cool, they're amazing, they're immense. But there's more behind them than that, isn't there? Go to the next one, Corey. The Lincoln Memorial, as I looked at that, I started to think about, I mean, it's a huge, he's massively huge. I don't know the dimension, but he's, you know, probably, does somebody, anybody know that? I mean, he's probably 40 feet high, at least, I would say. He's huge. And you start thinking about Lincoln, and you start thinking about the story that begins to unfold and what Lincoln represented, and that he did represent, you know, one of the primary things he did was brought freedom to those who were enslaved in our country. And so this memorial, although it's incredible in its aesthetic value, unfolds a story. If you start to look at it and read it about it and investigate it, it unfolds a story that's amazing. I know that in our lives we have memorials, we have traditions, we have landmarks, we have significant events. They may not be huge marble sculptures in your front yard, but you, all of us have memorials. We do. We have traditions. We have memorial services when someone passes away. And what's the goal of a memorial service? The goal of a memorial service is to celebrate a life. Is to look at this person's life and to remember who they were and what they were about, and to celebrate the things about them that were good. And you also remember some of the bad, and you remember the struggles and the battles, but you remember the good that came out of those things, and you celebrate their life. And then it also brings rest and it brings comfort as we share the stories of someone's life who's passed. So we do memorial services. We see those in our lives. Birthday parties are like a memorial to another year past. Sometimes people act like their birthday party is a funeral, but no, it's not. It's a memorial to another good year, all right? And, you know, we have traditions like in my family at Christmas time. Every Christmas Eve, we have a birthday party for Jesus. This is a tradition that we have in our family. And every Christmas Eve, we get together and we read the Christmas story and we have a birthday cake for Jesus. Jesus doesn't typically blow out the candles, but one of the kids does. Okay, and but it's a cool tradition. It's a moment. We stop and we ponder and we think about Jesus and we think about his birth and what it represents and what it's done today. Holidays, Valentine's Day, love and relationships, Easter, memorializing the death and resurrection of Christ. Mother's Day just happened recently, and we honor and celebrate mothers. Father's Day is coming up, right? We got the 4th of July coming up, celebrate freedom. I mean, we have all these memorials, all these traditions, all these moments where we celebrate and reflect. I have a memorial right here on my body. You can't see it. It's not a tattoo. But it is a mark, and it's right here. There's a divot. Now, you won't, but if I run my hand here, I can feel the divot right here. There's a divot in my arm. Now, you might say, you have a memorial in your arm? Yes. This is what it was. Sometimes memorials are funny afterwards, not in the moment. I was on a bike ride, riding home after a long bike ride with Ron, and we were riding through this parking lot that I'd ridden through millions of times. I'm riding through, and we're talking away. We're going fairly slow, thank goodness. What I didn't know is that the school had put up a barrier, a metal beam, bright yellow, mind you, bright fluorescent yellow, metal beam girder about like this with two, you know, it was a steel beam about that thick, across two big bright yellow poles. How I missed this thing, I don't know. But what I did was I just kept riding. Ron took off this way. I kept going, just pedaling, just kind of out of it. And I think, I don't know if I was exhausted or what, but I didn't see the beam until I was within about 2 feet of the beam. And I went, rammed into that beam right here, caught my hair, flipped me backwards, flipped me off my bike. And of course, there was a couple of junior high kids sitting over here on a bench laughing their heads off. I mean, they were rolling on the ground. They were enjoying it thoroughly, right? I mean, they were loving it. Fortunately, I didn't break anything, but my arm got so swelled up. I mean, it went like just a huge old hematobin, and it was massive. Even to this day, I mean, this was probably 8 years ago, I have a memorial right here, and I just occasionally feel this and go, thank you, God, for sparing my life. Thank you for my stupidity. I remember the story, and it makes for a great party story. Okay, but anyway, we have funny memorials like that. You know, all nations have memorials. I was thinking, it isn't like it's an American thing. I mean, across the world, everybody has memorials. And the Bible is actually full of memorials. But why are they so prevalent? I mean, why do we have so many? Why are they so important? In Genesis, in the Bible, we have the rainbow. Let's see. Can I raise this up? Can push this down? Okay. The rainbow in Genesis, you know, and what's that memorialize? That God will never flood the earth again. He'll never destroy the earth with a massive flood. This was his covenant with Noah. And then we have the Passover, and we have all the feasts which represent significant times of remembering what God's done. Probably the greatest is the Lord's Supper, when we take communion together. This is Jesus' way to say, please remember my death. And what's it? What did he chose? He said, remember the bread and the wine, and those symbolize my broken body and my shed blood. And so when we take those things together, when we have the Lord's Supper together, it is that memorial of his death and what that represented. So let me give you my definition of what a memorial is. It's on the screen and on your note sheet. It's this. A memorial is a doorway to the past that gives us hope for today. A doorway to the past that gives us hope for today. And if you have your Bibles, it will be on the screen, but I want to look at Joshua 4 because what we're going to see here is that they're asked to make a memorial. Children of Israel, it's chapter 4. It says, and it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. So they're cruising through the Jordan, they're on dry ground, and he's saying, the 12 men representing the 12 tribes, take one stone, all right, out of the midst of it. From the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. And the grown-ups, remember that. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. I think it's fascinating that the children of Israel, as they focus, you know, as they're crossing over, that you would think that that would be enough to deal with, getting millions of people across. But no, hey, grab 12 stones on your way through. It had to, in my mind, I'd be going, this is kind of an odd request, but okay, we're just going to obey, right? And what was the goal? So they get 12 rocks from the Jordan, he gives them the info, and what was nice is he gave them some reasons behind it, which I think was probably helpful. Because if we just say, hey, grab a few rocks on your way over, why are we doing that? We're just trying to get across. I mean, we've been waiting a long time for this, 40 years. And no, so they did it. They obeyed, thank goodness, and they did it. They bring 12 large rocks over. God knew this. Why did God ask them to do this? Because God knew that they needed this in the future. They needed to remember this moment. They needed to build a memorial for what God was doing right there at that moment. Not what he was just doing right there at that moment, but what he had done, what he brought them from Egypt all the way to that point. And so it was incredible. So he did it. So they did it. It was good. And I believe a memorial is packed with potential. And you can choose to ignore it. Just like you can look at the Lincoln Memorial And you can enjoy its beauty from an aesthetic point of view and go, wow, that's immense. Those marble pillars are incredible. And you can enjoy it at that level, but if you actually look into what it means, what the story behind it is, it's a doorway to something much deeper than just this immense monument. And these 12 stones represented to the children of Israel, not only for them today, but for their, it says here, for their children. It would be a sign to their children. It would be a generational thing. And so, this memorial to the past, it gives us hope for today. I believe memorials do three things, three simple things. First of all, they remind, and that's your first fill-in. Memorials remind. What do they remind us of? Well, first of all, and you could just write down maybe as letter A, they remind us today. They remind you and I today to remember what God has done. They remind us to not be anxious, but to pray about everything. They remind us to not wallow in self-pity and discouragement. When you look back at what God has done just in your own life, I mean, you're in today, you're living today with me, we're here, we're in today's reality, and you might be going, but Kevin, you don't know my circumstances, you don't know my situation, it's overwhelming, it's difficult, it's challenging. We all have those times. But I want you to think back to what God has done. Even if it was yesterday, if it was 5 years ago, if it was a year ago, think about the times, those moments, those memorials, in a sense, of what he's done. It helps us. It reminds us that of yesterday's faith and the results of that faith and the results of God's provision. It reminds us that God provides the way through, that he makes the way supernaturally, even in tough circumstances, he can make a way where there is no other way. It reminds us that God did it then, and he can do it again today. So it's a reminder for us today, but the letter B here is not on your notes, but you can write down letter B. It also reminds future generations. And that's what this chapter 4 says. It says it'll be a sign to your children. It reminds future generations that God did it for them, that he can do it again and give us hope for today. It's a sign. Proverbs 13:22 says this. It says, a good man, this is just the part A, the first part of the verse is, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I was thinking about that because an inheritance, you know, the wealth of an estate, not just financially, but lessons learned, battles won, battles lost, sweet victories, tough losses, miraculous provisions, God showing up in the last minute. God showing up after 40 years when they were willing to obey. He was actually there the whole time providing. And I want to challenge us that sometimes we are so self-consumed that all we're doing is thinking about ourselves and the provision we need for today. But can I challenge myself and challenge you that, and maybe you're here and you're a parent, but maybe you're not a parent. Maybe you're 12 and you're like, kids? I mean, I don't relate with that. Well, that's okay. If you're 12, don't worry about it yet. But if you're in college age, or someday you're going to have children. And even if you don't have children, you have spiritual children because God wants you to invest in people, right? But the goal here is to recognize that what happens in our lives doesn't just affect us. It can pass down. And when it comes to God's provision, we can pass that on. We can say, and we can tell the story of how God did it. God did this in my life. And I look at people's lives, even in this church, and I think about my own life. And I know for myself, for instance, I'm a blessed man because of my parents and my grandparents and my grandparents' grandparents. I mean, I am living a life today that I could not live because of my grandparents. I have grandparents on both sides that were believers, that love God, that serve God. Matter of fact, my grandparents were pillars in this congregation before it was ever River City, way back in the 50s and 60s. They actually got kicked out of this church, which is interesting, way back then, because they got filled with the Holy Spirit and got excited about the things of God, and they were like, whoa, that's a little risky. Okay, you're gone. But anyway, but interesting how God brings things back full circle. But I know that I'm not having to experience and do some of the things they did. I'm actually have built on that. Because they, in a sense, created stepping stones. Their faith, I feel like, has allowed me to go to new levels. And we can do that with our family, with our friends. We can leave an inheritance, a generational inheritance. And I write down this, maybe a little RGB, write down residual generational blessing. I love acronyms. Residual generational blessing, that your life, what God does in your life today, could leave ripples and a residual blessing past your life. When you're gone, the blessing continues, and people can, your children can build on that. We have the privilege of doing that. Kingdom ripples beyond our life. So it reminds us, memorials remind us. The second thing is memorials teach. They teach. They teach us about past, the past, and the past in history is significant. That it brings context. When we know our history, when we know our past, it brings context for today. It brings a sense of security, actually. And I believe with the children of Israel that memorial was not just for those who were currently going to cross. I believe in some ways it was a very significant reminder that when they were tempted to jet back into the wilderness at some point, because the battles were going to get thick here, right? That they go, oh yeah, God, you brought us in miraculously. Okay, we're not going back there. It's kind of like a line in the sand. They go, yeah, God, that memorial, these 12 stones sitting here, that's right. You provided us. You got us here. You're going to get us through this, right? Because I'm sure they were tempted to retreat at some times. It gives us foundation. It teaches us that we're not alone. When you know the context, when you know some history, when you have some memorials like this, you go, okay, I'm not the only one that's had to go through this. I'm not alone. Other people have been through these same things, and look how God provided. It gives you hope. It helps us know we're a part of His overall plan. I love that. It also, I believe, teaches us to sit and listen. And last week I shared with the Missoula crew about the story of Mary and Martha. And that in Luke 10, that story 38 to 42, it talks about the difference between Mary and Martha. And that Mary was there with Jesus. Remember, Jesus is in the house, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And what's Martha doing? She's busying herself, getting the place ready, getting the meal ready, and she gets mad at Mary because Mary's not helping her get the dinner ready and get the meal ready. And Jesus basically says, you know, Martha is, you know, kind of whining to Jesus and saying, can't you see that she's blowing it? I mean, she should be helping me. Can't you tell her to help me? And Jesus is like, you know what, Martha? Actually, Mary's chosen the better thing. In this season, in this moment, it would be wiser for you to sit and listen than to go and do. And what I believe memorials do is they teach us that we need to sit and listen first and then go and do. That you can't just go and do and never sit and listen. You can't not sit with Jesus and expect to have the energy and the effectiveness in the going and the doing. You're just going to burn yourself out. The other thing is it teaches us is that these times when we're sitting and listening, that they really bring rest. And I think Ehud hit on that really well, but that memorials remind us that there was times where you just have to rest. I think it forces you to kind of ponder, to think about it, to really look and reflect and go, God, what did you do there? What can I learn from this? The third thing that memorials do is they encourage us. They encourage. They encourage us to what? They propel us, actually, I believe. Memorials propel us forward. They propel us into new levels of faith, as I mentioned. I think they propel us to share the good news of the gospel. They propel us to and encourage us to share testimonies of what God has done today, what He's doing now. They should. When you think about what God's done then, it should force you to go, not force you, but it should cause you to go, what are you doing today, God? What am I missing today? How are you providing today? What is the memorial for today? What's the testimony of your good deeds and your work? What's the pain that I'm in right now that actually is an opportunity for your provision? Sometimes we don't think about the pain. You know, most memorials, if you think about it, we always kind of focus on the good part of the memorial. Like in this case, the 12 stones representing them crossing over the Jordan. But what about all the pain that was represented? What about all the hardship, all the stuff that they went through? What about all the challenges? There was provision, but there was pain, and there was scars, and there was loss of family and loved ones. There was those who didn't cross over, the generation before, the Moses generation. I mean, there was a lot wrapped up in those 12 stones. And it was a doorway to the past, though, that I believe gives us hope for today. It's also, I think, that memorials encourage us to look outward, to go, the fields out here are white for harvest. God, what you did, you can do again, and you want to do not only in their lives, in my life, but in others who don't yet know you. I love that. I think it also gives us an opportunity to brag on God because of what he's done. Romans 5, 1-5, this is from God's Word translation. It says this, now that we have God's approval because of faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Through Christ, we can approach God and stand in his favor, so we brag because of our confidence that we will receive glory from God. But that's not all. We also brag when we are suffering. We know that suffering creates endurance. Endurance creates character. Character creates confidence. We're not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You might think, well, is it okay to brag? It's great to brag on God. Don't brag on yourself. Brag on God. Tell him, I mean, even in your suffering, we can brag on him. Because you can go, you know what? Yeah, I'm having a hard time right now, but you know what? That's okay. God's still good. God still provides. I'll make it through, and I'm going to learn a lot through this. Let me tell you some dangers with memorials. Let me just give you a little warning. Here's the danger with some dangers with memorials. It is easy to get stuck in traditions and even get to the point where we're worshiping tradition. Because, memorials usually are created, the big ones are created around things that are major, huge events. And we can get to the point where we worship the past and what happened in the past. And we get stuck there. They should be a doorway to the past that gives us hope for today. They're a link to the past that should remind us to go, all right, God, yeah, I see what you did. I see how you moved. But I'm living here in reality. Here's my reality today, and here's the future. And you want to give me hope for today, and you want to have future victories also. It should propel us, not keep us in the past. Memorial should be a catalyst for what God is about to do, actually. When you look at a memorial and when you think about what God has done, think, how does this change me today and for the future? Because even in the Christian world, man, I see it's so easy to get caught up in what God used to do or what God did 20 years ago. And we so bring that so up in our mind's eye and in our heart that we forget that God's here today and that there's people here today that need life change. I mean, we can celebrate what God did, but let's let it propel us to what he's going to do today and what he's going to do tomorrow and the next day. We should go, let's not be glory days people. You know, let's celebrate what he did, but let's let it propel us today. Greg Kroeschel has a quote, and it's on the screen. I think this is what happens when we get stuck in traditions. I think he has a book out called Christian Atheists, Believing in God but Living as If He Doesn't Exist. And I think that's one of the dangers with memorials, is that we can look at what God did before, and that can get us stuck back there. And we can say, I believe in God, I believe in what he did, I see what he did. But we forget that today is a new day, that God's alive today. He wants to change lives today. He wants to change your life, and he wants to change my life, and he wants us to affect the next generations beyond. It's not just about the past. It's about the future. The past should give us some context. The next quote is this from Andy Stanley. I like this one too. It says, "Don't let your memories outstack your dreams. If they do, you're on your way out." I thought that was interesting. That if you aren't dreaming with God about today and the future, if you're just living in the past, you're missing it. You're turned this way. When God says, hey, you can look back there and go, wow, what are you going to do tomorrow, God? This is awesome. You did it there. You can do it again, even better. I mean, when Jesus left, he said, you'll do even greater things than I did. That's amazing. I'm ready for that. As a teenager, as a college student, as a parent, as a single parent, as a married person, as a retired person, as a believer in Jesus, we all carry stories. We all carry testimonies. We all carry even living memorials of what God's done in our lives. And I want to challenge myself and you, we need to share these with others with confidence that God is going to provide again in a fresh way today. That he's going to give you and the person you're connecting with dreams that even are bigger than the memories. You know, memories are great. They're context for what God wants to do today. They help frame. You and I carry memorials that are doorways to the past to give us hope and future generations hope. Testimonies, I believe, are like seed. They are seed for future faith moments and opportunities. And even, you might say, well, Kevin, how do you know, I don't have the money to build a marble monument, right? That's okay, right? I mean, I'm not saying that you have to build a monument or the Jefferson Memorial. What would be a living memorial today? Or what would be a memorial today? How can you do this in your life? How can I do this? The biggest thing, I think, is to record what God is doing and what God has done. So it could be as simple as this. Keeping a journal. Writing down what God's teaching you. Writing it down on paper or on your computer. I mean, if you say, maybe you're a blogger. I mean, start a blog. You can have private blogs that aren't out there for everybody to read, just you. But write it down. Record it somehow. Record it digitally. Make a video of yourself and tell the story. I mean, you can do amazing things these days with the technology. You know, if you have a Mac, you can do pretty much anything, right? Plug for Mac. Sponsorship check will be in the mail. All right. Paint it. You know, if you paint, if you draw, paint it. Paint what God's done. If you write songs, write a song about what God's done, about his provision. If you make wood, carve wood, use a lathe, I mean, you know, get creative. Use those creative things that God's given you and create things that mark moments where God's moved and provided. Not so you can worship that thing, but so that it can be a doorway to a story of God's provision that encourages someone else to take a faith step today. Yourself and future generations. Write it on a testimony card. I mean, one of the reasons we read those testimonies every few weeks is because they're memorials to what God did. As a matter of fact, we have like 3 notebooks of testimony cards from the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, and I read through those the other day, just answered prayers in people's lives. Man, it is so encouraging. You start reading through that, I'm just like, wow. You know, from the little to the big stuff. It's incredible. And those are memorials. And I tell you what, when you share your testimony, when you share a testimony, meaning you share a way God provided in your life or changed you or moved or someone near you, what it does is it infuses faith. When I share that and Nathan, I share that with Nathan, it's like God wants to do it again. And Nathan goes, wow, he can do that. I believe it. Okay. And it infuses faith. I believe. I think memorials are like stepping stones forward. I don't have to go where my grandparents went because they already paved that ground in faith, right? And I can move forward from them. If I choose to look at what they happened in their lives and how God provided, I believe I can move forward and even have a different and new level of effectiveness. I mean, I've even heard of people writing their answered prayer on little rocks and sticking them in a jar. And, you know, and when they're discouraged, they go grab the jar and they pull out the rock and they go, oh, yeah. God, I remember that one. And I pulled the next, oh yeah. I mean, you know, whatever it takes for you to remember, to remind yourself what God's done, because he taught you something through it. And sometimes we just got to be reminded and remember. So River City Church, you know, I believe that in this room alone represented are so many stories of provision, so many stories of God changing, moving, so many stories of really difficult times. But yet on the other side, you go, God, I saw you doing this, this, and this. There is no reason that our community cannot be transformed. I started thinking about driving through, and just within a 6-block radius right here, there's like 6 or 7 churches. I'm thinking, it's pathetic that we aren't making more impact. I mean, I'm saying this to myself. I want to celebrate the impact we are making, but you guys, we have so many churches and so many believers. But I do not want to be a Christian atheist. I do not want to say I believe in God, but yet live as if he doesn't exist. I don't want to come here on Sunday, and I don't want you to come here on Sunday and just say, wow, that was great. I mean, I really love God. I mean, I want you to do that. I want to do that. But I want to take it out there. And I think all it takes is us even sharing, being willing to share a testimony, a memorial of what God's done. And when you do that, that's real. That's the real stuff. You don't have to have the Bible memorized and slam scriptures down people's throats. Just in conversation, lifestyle, just tell people what God's been doing. Tell them about your struggles and tell them about the provision. Be real. And I think what's amazing is if we did that, if even 10% of us did that, we know God's doing his part. And so I believe we can see transformation. I believe this community could be transformed. Would you stand with me, please? I want to challenge you this week too, and maybe even before you leave this place today, would you write down something that you remember God doing in your life? You know, one of the life group questions that I love is many times in our life group this question's asked. So share something good that God's doing in your life in the last couple weeks. You know what's great about that question? Is sometimes in my own life, it's hard to remember, even in the last week or two, what God's done. But when I start to think about it, and when I start to ponder it, and when I go, oh yeah, God, okay, this, maybe I just discounted that, it's not a big deal, but you really did do that, and this, and this, and what happens is, and then you share that, it infuses faith in people. It does. It gives people a little glimpse into the past that gives them hope for today. And every one of us are living memorials. We carry memorials of God's provision in life and what he's done in and through you. And so don't discount what he's doing in you, but get yourself in a place where you can remember. If you got to write it down, I have to write stuff down. If I don't, I was reading through my journal yesterday and just looking through and going, even in this last year, and going, wow, God, that was incredible. I forgot about that. I mean, that was just this year. And I'm thinking, even 2 days ago, I'm forgetting. So, you know, and that was the issue with the children of Israel, is God knew they'd forget. He knew them pretty well. Not just the children. He knew the adults would forget too. And so, would you pray with me? And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring up some things that he's done that you could remember. And then would you write it down somewhere? And would you share one or two of those this week with someone in your life group, but in your workplace? Just ask God for an opportunity. I'm going to pray for opportunities for us in the community to share what God's been doing. Lord, thank you for this chapter in Joshua, Lord, that I believe is a doorway to a truth and a principle that, Lord, we need to have in our lives today, that we, Lord, we need to remember how you've provided and what you've done. so that, God, we can move forward in the future. We have hope. Lord, there's people here today that need hope, and I pray you would infuse them with hope. God, you are amazing. God, even in the times when we're discouraged and cloudy and we can't think and unclear, you don't change. You are there. You don't move, Lord. And Lord, you are there to provide, God. You are there to bring breakthrough, God. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would bring up memories of how you've done things and what you've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would share those and we even be disciplined enough to record those things in the future. Lord, we want to be believers that don't just say we believe in you, but we actually live as we actually believe it, that our life reflects it. So Lord, we pray you'd forgive us where we don't and haven't, but Lord, we pray you'd give us faith to step out, Lord, and see this community transformed, God. We want to see it change for you, Jesus, one person at a time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.